The Pittsburgh Steelers got a big win against the Los Angeles Rams Sunday afternoon. We're breaking it down here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, with Ray Fittipaldo, who's still in Los Angeles. We're going to talk about all the big parts of this win. The Steelers' offense, Kenny Pickett turning it on in the second half. Did they show real progress? We'll also talk about the defense and some key coaching adjustments that helped the Steelers neutralize the best parts of the Rams' offense. And then we'll go over the offensive line and whether or not they figured it out. Even though Broderick Jones didn't get the start, they looked like they collectively took a step forward. All that and more in here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo, one of our esteemed Steelers beat reporters who's on the scene in Los Angeles after the Steelers' 24-17 win over the Los Angeles Rams. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. You can also find this show when you subscribe to our YouTube channel and all of our daily episodes that come out covering all things Pittsburgh sports from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. As always, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today on the North Shore. They're right across the street from PNC Park on Federal Street. They have the best selection of beer in town with over 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, and 80 of those local beers being available on tap. You can also get a flight to try out all the different matchups that you could want, as well as great food options and over 20 televisions to catch whatever sporting event you want to see. More on Mike's Beer Bar later. Ray, we're talking with you here after what I think this was the best-looking Steelers win we've had of the season. It wasn't, you know, the defense did make a turnover, and they did make that. They did make some big plays, but this wasn't just the defense, you know, scoring two touchdowns or, you know, sloppy play all around. The offense in this game, yes, they turned it on the fourth quarter again. They need to expand that to more games, but they had 5 second-half drives, Ray, and 4 of them were wins. 3 of them ended in touchdowns. All of them were either in the red zone or got to the red zone, and they scored touchdowns on those. And then the fourth one that was successful was the one when they ran the clock out at the end. And yes, the spot on the Kenny Pickett's spot run at the end on there on the sneak was controversial, but so were a few other things that happened in this game. What did you see that really clicked for the Steelers offense?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a big step forward for Kenny Pickett and all those guys on offense. You know, Deontay Johnson's first game back, he missed a month with that hamstring injury. You know, the running game wasn't great, Chris, but they got timely touchdown runs. I mean, they hadn't had a touchdown run until Sunday afternoon out here, and Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris both got them. So, you know, I don't know what it is about Pickett that he doesn't look good for 3 quarters and then he turns it on, but hey, the Steelers are 4-2, and Pickett has a knack for coming through in those situations. So his teammates trust him. He always seems to come up big. And lo and behold, the Steelers are a half game behind the Ravens still in the AFC North. Hard to believe, Chris, after what we've seen so far this season.
And I think it goes back to when the Steelers aren't playing their best football, they're still winning football games. And I still think they aren't playing their best football, but this might have been the best football that they've played yet. But again, that's why it's important to win games like the Browns game and the Raiders game and the Ravens game, because now you're sitting here and there's confidence built in, but you're not 1-5 looking at this. You're 4-2. And you're a half game behind the Ravens, like you said. You're tied with the Browns with the tiebreaker edge because you beat the Browns. And like, if the playoffs were to start today, they'd be the 5 seed, and they're in a really good spot right now. And they don't have a super difficult schedule. The Eagles aren't coming up. The Chiefs aren't coming up on their schedule. The Jaguars will be a tough test next week, but they're not an unbeatable team. I think the Steelers are putting themselves in a really good spot. That if they continue to build off of this game, they're going to be in a favorable spot. But let's focus on the offense a little bit more. I also thought, on top of Kenny Pickett, he was very smart with the football, especially in the second half. I thought the return of Deontay Johnson changed a whole lot, because you could tell the Rams just couldn't take George Pickens out of the game. You had to respect both of them, and that gave Kenny Pickett a little bit more space to make some smarter decisions.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Deontay Johnson, his best asset – he knows how to get open, and he had that 39-yard reception on 3rd-and-8. I mean, Chris, if the Steelers have to punt there, from deep in their own territory, given the way that game was going. That game could have flipped right there. I know, and I'm one of these people, I thought T.J. Watt's play was probably the biggest play in that football game. But when you look at that 3rd-and-8 conversion to Deontay Johnson and what that represented and how they went down and scored there on that drive, I thought it was huge. So he's a great route runner. He's great after the catch. And after the game, Kenny Pickett said they were in man, and he just wanted to give Deontay Johnson a chance to make a play there. And Deontay Johnson came through big time.
I really think that this is at least the spark of something very positive. We're going to get to the offensive line specifically later in the show, but the run game also stepping in, like you talked about, didn't have a single rushing touchdown. They had three in this game. And I thought really both, I think you saw the potential of this backfield with both Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren making big plays in this game. Najee Harris, his touchdown run was certainly, you know, it put the Steelers ahead. There was a lot of energy behind it. I thought his most impressive play was the second down catch that he had that set up Kenny Pickett's first touchdown on the sneak. Kenny Pickett hits him behind the line of scrimmage. He bobbles the pass, makes a defender miss, tiptoes the sideline, jumps over a defender, and then gets the ball down to the one. That puts the Steelers in the field position to just QB sneak it in. If he doesn't do all that, they've got to score from third and goal from the 9, and who knows if they get in from that point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get the turnover on the 7-yard line, and if they wouldn't have punched it in there, if they had to settle for a field goal, that would have been, that would have been a big blow to the Steelers' chances. I thought, I thought Mike Tomlin said it best after the game. Even though the Rams, they probably didn't score as much as maybe what the yards represented in this game. The Steelers' defense bowed up when they had to, but Mike Tomlin said, we knew field goals would be detrimental to our cause in this game. And they ended up going 3-for-3 in the red zone, 3 possessions down there, 3 touchdowns. And that's what you got to do. That's, what Mike Tomlin always talks about, complementary football. T.J. Watt makes that play, offense punches it in. And that's the type of football they want to play. So I agree with you. Their best game of the season, and certainly the offense's best performance in the second half of that football game.
Going into this game, they ranked dead last in red zone touchdown percentage at 28.5%. I don't know what 3 touchdowns on 3 possessions does for the total numbers, but I'd assume that would give it a nice little boost there. We got to talk about the defense too, though, because even though this wasn't a 3-sack game for T.J. Watt and 2 defensive touchdowns, the defense played a big role in this win, and I think, again, that's what goes back to saying this is probably the best win the Steelers had, because it wasn't one thing that did it on either side of the ball. It was a culmination of several good aspects of this team in this win. We'll break down the defense and how coaching played into the defense in just a minute here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, stick with us. We've got a lot to discuss. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, where you can go into the North Shore and experience the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Whether you're in for a Steelers game or a Pitt game, Mike's Beer Bar is right across the street from PNC Park. It has the best selection of beer in town, as well as amazing food options. You can see all the different sporting events on over 20 televisions. That's NHL, NBA, NFL, college football, college basketball, Riverhounds, Premier League, whatever you want to see, Mike's Beer Bar has it. And you can even reserve a table with a TV designated to the game that you want to follow the most by calling ahead and reserving that space at Mike's Beer Bar. And when you're there, you'll try one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, and 80 of those local beers being on tap. And they're always switching things up every week to give you new options every time you visit, so that you'll never run out of chances to mix things up. Try a flight today to try all the different types of beers that you could never dream you could even imagine to try. They also have amazing food options, like a steak on a stone meal, where you order your choice cut of steak and it's brought to you on a heated stone. And every piece of steak that you cut off, you press into that heated stone, you choose how well you want your steak done with every single bite. It's an amazing option. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Get your sports fix and experience the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you. We're also brought to you by the Great Yinzer Tailgate, which is bringing the best of the Berg to South Point on November 4th, showcasing Pittsburgh's rich culture, iconic sports history, and vibrant community spirit. The Great Yinzer Tailgate will immerse you in the unique blend of traditions that make Pittsburgh legendary. Visit www.thegreatyinzertailgate.com for details. See Yinz there. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, breaking things down. Ray, want to talk about this defense. This wasn't a classic, you know, old school Steelers defense dominates everything. But I thought the defense did a good job in this game. This Rams offense was held to 17 points. And you look at how this game played out. Puka Nacua did get 154 yards. But Cooper Kupp, the guy that usually gets it done for the Rams, 7 targets, 2 catches, 29 yards. The Rams only get 2 touchdowns in this game. And I thought that there were some really impressive points for the Steelers to adjust to some different things. What are the things that you were impressed the most by the Steelers defense in this win?
Well, you mentioned Kupp, 2 early drops. And I think those drops, that was probably a bad sign for the Rams offense. But going above and beyond that and just looking at how the Steelers adjusted in this game, the defensive backs weren't close enough in the first half. And, the Rams were max protecting. They were giving Stafford all the time he needed, to dissect that defense. And the defensive backs just had to do a better job. Midway through the fourth quarter, Joey Porter Jr. was on Puka Nacua. If the Rams convert there, they extend the drive, who knows what happens. But they force a punt, and then the Steelers take it, and, they basically run out the clock there. So, I thought Porter's contributions were huge. I know he struggled tackling. Levi Wallace had a tough game. But, just looking at the way Porter played, I thought Fitzpatrick was active coming up and making tackles in the running game. I thought it was a pretty solid overall performance from the secondary in the second half of that game. And that really helped them, come back and win as well.
It certainly did. T.J. Watt's interception, just huge. I mean, T.J. Watt talked about it after the game, saying that they needed a spark and they want to start faster in the second half. The Steelers backing him off into coverage, and Matt Stafford staring down his guy. I talked to Rich Hammond, who covers the Rams for The Athletic, before this game, and Rich Hammond said one of the biggest things that he feels Matt Stafford does too much of is he stares down Cooper Kupp when he just trusts that he's going to be open. T.J. Watt backed off, read his eyes, and was right there when he tried to force it to Cooper Kupp against Cole Holcomb, and it was the exact mistake the Steelers needed to capitalize in that situation. But I beyond just that, I thought the Steelers did something very impressive on their defense as a whole. And this goes also to Mike Tomlin, Terrell Austin, game planning, and also execution from the guys on the field. But if you remember back with the Texans game, we talked about this. The Texans put in a game plan to neutralize Alex Highsmith and T.J. Watt because they were the killers of that defense. If they eat, the defense is rocking. And the Texans, they made sure that the ball was either getting out quick or that if they were holding on to it, they were going to double team both of them, max protect, and give C.J. Stroud all the time in the world. Sean McVay enacted a very similar, if not an identical plan in many ways. If the Rams were spread out, ball was coming out really quick. Matt Stafford was trying to find an open man, make sure that T.J. Watt nor Alex Highsmith was getting to him. If they wanted to throw deep, if they wanted to set that up, they would set it up with a max protection plan, which brought in less receivers available for Matt Stafford and getting the ball downfield. And they hit on some of those plays. And by all means, even though T.J. Watt got the interception, they limited him and Highsmith as edge rushers. They got collectively 3 tackles. I don't think either of them even touched Stafford in the game. And you got the job done there in doing that if you're Sean McVay, but the Steelers were prepared for that this time around. The linebackers, Quan Alexander, Cole Holcomb, I thought had solid games. Minkah Fitzpatrick lining up all over the field was an asset, led the team in tackles again. The interior defensive line seemed ready. Nick Herbig got a sack. Larry Ogunjobi got a sack. It seemed like the Steelers were prepared for this concept or these ideas that Sean McVay had and countered it well in this game.
Yeah, we asked Mike Tomlin after the game. Nick Herbig played more snaps than he had in any other game during his rookie season. And Mike Tomlin said, hey, we just weren't getting off the field. And that's the reason that Nick Herbig had to play so much. So it was really a situation, Chris, where, twice in the first half, the Rams converted 3rd and 11. There was that 3rd and 4 where Nacua basically broke it and set up the touchdown right before halftime. So, the Steelers did not do a good job on possession downs in the first half. Neither did the offense. And Mike Tomlin thought one of the biggest differences in the game was how that flipped around in the second half. The Steelers got off the field in the second half. And, of course, we know what the offense did. The offense, 4 for 7 on third down conversions and 1 for 1 on fourth down, which, of course, was that Kenny Pickett sneak to cap the game off.
Absolutely. A lot of different things going on there. You brought up Joey Porter Jr. in the secondary and how they played well. I thought Joey Porter Jr., sir, he missed a couple tackles that could have helped the Steelers. But when in coverage, he was as locked down as you want to see from a cornerback. Ray, I know I keep saying these are small sample sizes because we haven't seen him for a whole season, but this is yet another game where Joey Porter Jr., when he was in coverage, you weren't getting the ball past him too many times.
No, he was closer to the Rams receivers than anyone else. We saw Levi Wallace trailing Nacua on that big catch and run right before halftime. Tough game for Wallace. I'll have to look at the snap counts, Chris. I want to say that James Pierre made an appearance late in that game, and I don't know if Wallace was dinged up or he was benched, but Mike Tomlin did not mention him on the injury report.
He did not.
After the game, so I think we are closer to seeing Joey Porter full-time. Levi Wallace is still going to have to play, but, you know, I think we saw in the first half of that game when a guy like Matthew Stafford, who has pinpoint accuracy and who can, you know, throw it probably better than, you know, 75% of the quarterbacks in the league, maybe even more than that. When you have a quarterback like that and you can pick on a guy like Levi Wallace, you're going to have success. So, you know, we'll see if his days are numbered, but, you know, on the positive side, it looks like Joey Porter is stepping up when they ask him to. And, you know, I think Tomlin's words were, he played like a big dog today. And I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's the thing, playing like a big dog, being able to stand up to it. And this was a talented receiving core. Like, this was one of the biggest questions I had going into this game was, could the Steelers secondary stand up to these receivers, because you don't really have those receivers. You had a good quarterback. Matt Stafford's not a bad quarterback. He's still an accurate thrower of the football, and you saw some of the passes that he threw in this game were just on the money. But, you know, I asked Mike Tomlin about you know, opposing receivers and the yards that they got. The Steelers had given up the 8th most receiving yards to receivers in the NFL going into the game, and he objected to that question. He was like, I'm not here to talk about those kind of stats. I'm here to talk about winning the game, and that's what our goal is, regardless of what some stats are that are subjective about different things. And I think this game proved his point in how he answered my question, because Puka Nacua had 154 yards through the air. So if you look at that, you're saying, well, you're still giving up receiving yards. Well, he's getting another win. And that, to me, is the bottom line, is that, yeah, sure, they're going to get yards here and there, and that's part of their game plan. But the bottom line is they held another team to under 20 points, and they seem to, when they do that, they seem to win football games consistently. Ray, they've won 8 of their last 10 games, stretching back to last year, 10 of their last 13. This is impressive what the Steelers have been able to put together, and they're still building on offense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they do as good a job as anyone of just muddying the waters, getting you to play their style of football. And I don't know if it's a sustainable formula, Chris, but you give Kenny Pickett a chance to win the game late in the fourth quarter. I think he's proven, you know, over the last, 10 games or so, if you want to go back to what he did in December and January last year, he's proven that he'll take it from you, that he'll lead his team down the field. So, again, they have to start better. I mean, the starts are still kind of problematic for me. Good teams are going to find a way to exploit that, but they got a formula, and it's working for them. At least it is for the last two games against the Ravens and the Rams.
We'll see how things continue to play out. That Jaguars test is important. But just as important as anything else that they've done well for the Steelers, they needed this offensive line to step up, and they did not start Broderick Jones. Dan Moore Jr. went back out there. That was a controversial talking point all week long, and now it's definitely going to get quieted a little bit by the success the offensive line had. I want to talk to Ray about specifically about the Steelers offensive line and if they're trending in the right direction right now here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter and Ray Fittipaldo. But first, I want to remind you, this show is also sponsored by Savinus Kane and Gallucci, their mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Kane and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co, where buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You ever had to buy tickets for an event but weren't comfortable with how much you were paying because you weren't sure about how good the seats were? That kind of stuff happens to me whenever I'm trying to buy tickets up to the last minute. But when I use GameTime, it's never an issue. Why? Because the GameTime app allows you to book tickets up to the last minute. If you didn't plan on far in advance, you can even buy tickets up to an hour after the event has started. And when you go into the app, it lets you look at the tickets and see the seat, the view from your seats where you buy them. And you all you have to do is tap two buttons and the tickets are yours. There aren't any hidden fees. All the prices are up front, right in front of you, so that you're not looking at price, one price and then paying another when you're finally checking out. And again, when you're buying these tickets, you just download the app, get them right to your phone. They put them on your phone and you're good to go. And these are good for Steelers games, Pitt games, Penguins games, comedy shows, theater events, all these different events available at Game Time. And they have a best price guarantee that can't be beat. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase. Or go to their website, GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, it's the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, breaking things down. Okay, Ray, we got to talk about this offensive line because at first they were struggling. The Rams were getting pressure from different sides, and it wasn't all on the offensive line. It wasn't like they were losing matchups left and right, but the Rams were throwing different overload blitzes, and the Steelers weren't able to catch up with it, and it led to some drives being spoiled in the first half. The Steelers made those adjustments and looked better in the second half. But also what looked better in the second half was just the offensive line as a whole. On the run blocking, you saw them creating space for Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. You saw Mason Cole winning matchups in this game. Isaac Seumalo winning matchups in this game, getting guys to the second level, some proper zone blocking. Dan Moore Jr. And again, Dan Moore Jr., the guy that everyone, including myself, I wasn't so sure about the plan of putting him back in when Broderick Jones played so well against the Ravens. But Dan Moore Jr. came in and played very well. And you even saw him pulling into trap blocks that was looking very solid here. Ray, were you surprised to see Dan Moore bounce back so well after his injury?
Listen, Chris, he was out there on that bonus day on Monday, so he did have an entire full week. He had Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to get ready for this game. And you knew when he was out there on Monday and he was running with the ones that he was going to be the pick to start over Jones. So, listen, by now, we're entering week 8. We all know that the Steelers coaches really like Dan Moore, and it's going to be hard for Broderick Jones to get into the lineup if Moore continues to play well. So, you know, good for Dan Moore for bouncing back. But I thought probably the biggest, accomplishment for the offensive line in this game, Chris, I mean, how many times do you turn on Rams games when they're playing other teams and Aaron Donald just wrecks game plans, you know, swimming past guys, using his quickness? That didn't happen against the Steelers. They were getting double teams on him. Kenny Pickett described it as getting four hands on them at all times, and it worked. You know, early on they had, they got a couple of sacks, but sometimes that's a good trade-off. You know, Aaron Donald is a guy who can get in there, cause turnovers, and when he's not affecting the game in his usual manner, it's going to end up being a win for your football team. So I give all the credit in the world to guys like Mason Cole, Isaac Seumalo, James Daniels. They held up very well on the interior of that offensive line against what I think is still a really, really good and talented player in Aaron Donald, even though he's, 33 years old now?
Absolutely.
He can still change games, and I thought that was kind of one of the hidden aspects of this game that they were able to neutralize him and do a really, really good job on.
They really did. I mean, four tackles. And this is also, I think, what, the third time they've done that? The Steelers, you know, under Mike Tomlin, they've never lost to the Rams. In fact, the Steelers have, haven't lost to the Rams since, like, 2003. This is something the Steelers have done pretty consistently. But I think what makes this extra impressive was the last two times they faced Aaron Donald, they had Marquise Pouncey, they had David DeCastro, they had Ramon Foster. They had that experienced interior offensive line that knew how to neutralize big, bad dudes in the middle of the defense. This was Mason Cole, James Daniels, and Isaac Seumalo. Mason Cole, who, you know, has not had the greatest start to the season ever as a center, and James Daniels, who's coming off an injury, and Isaac Seumalo, who's still adjusting to the team. And the three of them, I mean, along with a core of four and more, like you said, they made Donald, you know, he was a factor in the game. He had four tackles. He had a good pressure on one play that killed a third down play for the Steelers. But this was still a really concerted effort by the offensive line to limit him and to kind of create space for guys, because it wasn't just protecting Kenny Pickett. It was also creating space for Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren to go to work in the second half. I think in the second and in the fourth quarter, I think they had over 50 yards rushing or something like that, and they only had 83, so like they really turned it on then. Yeah. It was such a good sign for the Steelers offensive line to be able to play the way they did. And as much as we could talk about Pickett, as much as we could talk about Pickens and Johnson and Harris and Warren, this offensive line deserves a lot of credit for the way they've come together, and it did so against a front that had maybe the best defensive tackle in football since Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, and there was a nice crease on Jaylen Warren's 13-yard touchdown run. Mm-hmm. There haven't been many of those. You know, Jaylen Warren did a really nice job of hitting that quick, but, you know, those big holes like that haven't been there a lot early in the season. So, I thought the fourth quarter was a really positive sign for that running game. But again, like we touched on in the last segment, why can't they do it first quarter, second quarter? Chris, they got to figure that out. The Jaguars are a good football team. They're going to start playing teams like the Bengals and the Browns and the Ravens again in the second half of the season. They're going to have to play a more complete football game on offense.
I agree.
But hey, listen, the fourth quarter was really impressive. Now they just got to build on it and, you know, see if they can carry that over into the Jaguars game.
No, I'm right with you, Ray, because if the Steelers, the real potential of this team that can make them very dangerous to play anybody. I also don't think, the more I look across the NFL, there's not a team out here that I see is completely dominant in all phases of the game right now. The Eagles looked good. I mean, they were good against the Dolphins, but that's a Dolphins team that, yeah, sure, they dropped, what, 70 points on the Broncos the other week. But you look at the Dolphins right now, all their wins have come against teams that have two wins or less. The two times they played decent teams, they got handled by the Bills and they got outplayed by the Eagles. I look at this league as a league with there's good teams, and then there's the teams that are figuring things out and could catch up to them. And I put the Steelers in that second category, because if the defense keeps playing this way, if they can limit teams to about 20 or less points, and the offense does figure things out, that's going to make them a serious contender, because then you're still going to be in that feeling like you're in a rock fight, because you're trying to make plays and the Steelers defense is finding ways to negate you. But then the Steelers offense is out there making plays and they're actually scoring, because that was the thing to me that really spoke loudly, Ray, was in the second half. Like I said, four out of five drives for the Steelers, three of them were scores. One of them ran the clock out to win the game. This was that effort left the Rams. The Rams only got two possessions in the fourth quarter, just two. They never got the ball back with the chance to say, hey, let's get another crack at that. If the Steelers can play like that for four quarters on offense, and again, they don't need to score every drive, but just possess the football, limit the chances, offenses, if they don't crack the defense, the Steelers defense early, it's going to put them behind an eight ball and really give the chance the Steelers to actually take over some games.
Yeah, I mean, time of possession is kind of like an old school stat, but you've heard Mike Tomlin reference that a couple of times here early in the season, and I thought that was a big key to the victory. If you go back to that Las Vegas game, mm-hmm. how many times did they give the Raiders a chance to come back in that game because the offense couldn't close it out? So
right.
Kenny to run off, I think it was the final 5:28 off the clock, for mm-hmm. them to run that four-minute offense the way they did. Again, yeah, we're talking about the three second-half touchdowns, of course, but that was just as important in closing that game out. They never gave the ball back to Matthew Stafford to see if he can lead a comeback of his own.
Absolutely. A lot of things to point to on the positive side of this Steelers win. We'll keep going over some of those here on the North Shore Drive podcast and all the coverage that we have at post-gazette.com, where our team was on site in Los Angeles for all the great feedback there. If you want to read Ray's report card on all the different positions for the Steelers, check out post-gazette.com, as well as Brian Batko, who was on the scene, here. If you want to check out more episodes like the North Shore Drive podcast and all the other content we provide here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, go to look up Post-Gazette Sports on your favorite YouTube channels or on your favorite podcasting apps. You can find us. We are Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturdays with our Acrisure Fan Advantage episode, where we talk to an opponent expert each week. We're also here on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, breaking things down all throughout the week. We'll have another episode Wednesday, seeing what Mike Tomlin said on Tuesday about the Steelers and what they've been doing. Ray, thanks again for joining us. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you Wednesday here on the North Shore Drive Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive Podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.